Right across from the Bridgestone Arena, where the SEC tournament continues today at high noon, South Carolina, Mississippi State. The early game yesterday, Mississippi State with a mild upset over South Carolina in a game that dozens of people watched. Texas A&M and Auburn in the late game, a similar crowd standpoint, probably more Kentucky blue in the house than anything else. A&M, as expected, wins that game and gets a chance to take on Frank Haith's Missouri team in the late game tonight at 9 o'clock. We start again at noon today, LSU, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Tennessee is the 2:30 game. Arkansas, the game we're all interested in against Vanderbilt at 6:30, and then that A&M Missouri game tonight. Thrilled to be joined in person today by Steve Gorman, a guy who's been on the show several times over the last couple of years, and he is best known to us, I guess, as the host of Steve Gorman Sports, which is a local show here, started as a podcast, and also for many of you, best known as the drummer of the Black Crowes, a band that is getting back after it here next month. So, Steve, good to have you on, man. How are you?
Nice to be with you, sir. This is an extraordinarily early time to be talking sports. What is wrong with you?
I don't know. It's not as bad as the morning show. Those guys, I don't know if I could ever do it as much as I'd like to.
There's something seriously wrong with that, even with the games happening momentarily across the street.
Yep.
It just doesn't seem right.
Well, this is such a great town, and I haven't had a chance to spend much time here. And unfortunately, the last time I was here, I was watching Arkansas get handled in the Music City Bowl by a lesser Minnesota team. But this is a great setup for a tournament
right.
like this. Everything's kind of closed together, and you get a lot of places you can pop around to around the arena.
It couldn't be an easier town to host an event in. And there's a new convention center that's going to open next year that's five times as big as this one. Everything in Nashville – by the way, this section brought to you by the Nashville Tourism Board.
That's okay.
Everything in this town – that's not true. But it is easy. I've been here 9 years, and I still drive around on a regular basis and go, I can't believe how easy this place is.
Yeah.
Which was a big part of the attraction, because coming here from before living in L.A. and New York, I mean, we were looking for something smaller, but this has everything you need and everything's 10 minutes away.
Yeah, I was talking to some guys. I was going to meet some sports guys downtown at dinner. We went to Demos, I guess, the first night we were here. And they said, well, where are you staying? I said, I'm out by the airport. They said, oh, well, it'll be a while.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's 7 miles. It's 7 miles from my hotel to the downtown area. So it's everything is so convenient. It's really like a big Little Rock, honestly.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of town from the airport. I'm west and it's east. And I'm still, you know, if I tell people all the time, if I have an 11 o'clock flight, I leave at 10 from my house.
Yeah.
And no one believes me. So, anyway, very easy town.
Well, as we saw today, you have no trouble getting through security, so you may not be typical.
No, tall with long hair works really well.
It's
surprising, actually. It's about the shave. If I shave once a week, I can get anywhere. If I get into that second week, people start asking questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. So
it's important to know, you know, these things.
Now, Steve is a Western Kentucky, former Western Kentucky student. We don't call you an official graduate, but close enough.
As close as you can get.
Do you have like an honorary?
They think the Alumni Association of the fine University of Western Kentucky likes to say I'm an alumnus.
I bet they do.
They haven't offered me an honorary degree yet. So as soon as I get that, I'll start cutting checks.
Well, they have had a good run the last couple of years. I got a chance to be around the team and the coach, and he's very impressive.
Hey,
after
man, as a lifelong Hilltopper fan, the best I've ever felt about Hilltopper basketball right now. Because we got the right coach who's young enough, this is his dream job.
Yeah.
And he's got 20 years if he wants him there. And, you know, it's a classic stepping stone school. I started on Western as a fan in the end of Johnny Oldemare, who was a local guy. But in a row it went Gene Cady, Clem Haskins, you know, both went to the Big Ten.
Wow.
And then you had a brief period of time with a guy whose name shall not be mentioned. But then you had Ralph Willard. You know, we just went through Kilpatrick. Every coach we had was there 2, 3, maybe 4 years and then got a great offer. Even Darren Horn, who was about to get run out of town,
yeah.
got hot in the tournament, ends up in the SEC where he failed miserably, and good for him because he's a jerk. But anyway, the point is...
You didn't like Darren?
The point is...
He's a little uptight.
He's got some issues.
Yeah.
Good ball player when he was at... Well, I liked him as a player.
Yeah.
But a lot of his skills didn't translate too well into the coaching realm.
Well, Ray Harper's about as likable dude. He came in after the South Al game, and I was doing the press conferences, the little moderator deal.
Right.
And he sat down, he kind of looked at me, and he goes, and I gave him a little tap on the leg.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a likable dude, man.
Yeah.
I mean, he is so passionate, and he gets it. And we've got a coach like that at UALR, too, who's just a great guy to be around. And
right.
Those guys are easy to root for, man.
This guy, Harper, I mean, a lot of people, you know, I'm sure you don't talk a lot about the Hilltoppers on your show, but for the record, His record as a head coach in NAIA in Division II is, I mean, he's about an 800% winner. I mean,
yeah.
coming in, he had phenomenal resume. And he's from the area. He's from not that far from Bowling Green. He always wanted to be there. They didn't recruit him as a high school player, so he signed with Texas instead. Clem Haskins overlooked him for some reason. He goes to University of Texas, leads them in scoring as a freshman. The guy's got an amazing life story.
I didn't realize that.
And always saw Western as the place he wanted to end up, and he got there with a lot of gas left in the tank. And next year you'll see with his own players, with his own couple years in, I think this is going to be a, you know, I've said on my show, mostly just to wind up Middle Tennessee State fans in this area.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at Gonzaga and look at Butler. When you know the coach isn't leaving, you can do a lot, you know. And the way college basketball is right now, if you have a bunch of juniors and seniors every year, you're gonna compete. And I think Western's next decade and a half is going to be really, really something.
Have you met him?
I've not. I have
sounds a. Sounds like a little bit of a man crush going over there.
Good, no,
saying.
I have. That's why. See, it's him and Ringo. Can't meet him.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Be awkward.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put him right up there.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I did. I was reading it, and you never know how much of the Wikipedia is true, but.
All of it.
You were a Beatles guy growing up.
Well, I believe everything
everybody
I read
was,
online.
All right?
I believe everything I read online because it makes life a lot more interesting.
Okay.
Just as an FYI.
Do you read your own Wikipedia when you got one?
I read it once, and then I noticed there was the only thing I remember about it was. There was a paragraph about my oldest brother, clearly written by my oldest brother, which I thought was really funny. Just mentioned that I had a brother who's a journalist in upstate New York. And I thought, I guess he's been involved in this. No, I haven't looked at it lately.
Okay.
But yes, to the Beatles, absolutely.
So you don't want to meet Ringo?
No, I've had a chance a couple times. He's the only guy I can't meet.
What do you think would happen? You think your world would collide with, like a Steve Gorman standing against himself cannot stand?
I still need a little bit of fantasy and, you know, hero worship in my life.
Yeah, what if it sucks and it would blow it?
Even if it doesn't suck, I don't want to think of him as human or mortal or anything. I mean, I like how I see him, you know.
Yeah.
Magic Johnson, Ringo Starr, you got no time to meet either
one. I was always
one.
More of a Mickey Dolenz guy.
Yeah, don't get me started.
No,
I like, you know what, though? No problem. I mean, great tunes.
Who are your sports radio influences then?
Well, you.
Okay, thanks.
I mean, you know, the first time I did your show, it dawned on me, you know, I think I could do that.
Yeah.
So you can take that any way you want.
I could take that as a total backhanded compliment, but I appreciate it. I say it all the time. It doesn't take you don't have to be that talented to do this. You just have to, you know, pay somewhat attention to what's going on around you, which I think most of the guys that we know do. I mean.
Or you can do like I do and insist on the opposite. And come in blind and just see what happens.
Yeah.
And that either works or it doesn't.
Well, you have one advantage, and I'm not knocking your talent without a doubt. I think you're unbelievable on the air, but you only have to do an hour right now. Now, again, that's going to probably grow in the next few years.
Well, I know. There was a time when I was doing late nights, it was 2 hours.
Okay.
There was a few segments running on fumes, trust me.
Yeah.
First of all, just talking about anything at 11:30 at night, for me, at my age, challenging. I'll come clean with that right now.
Is it the years or the mileage?
It's both, man.
Okay.
It's a combination.
I understand.
It's a combination. Nighttime, if I'm not doing a gig at night, I'm doing very little. I mean, I'm not able to, I can sit at a drum kit until the cows come home.
Yeah.
But maintaining a cohesive line of thinking, you know, around midnight, not good for me.
Steve Gorman joining us in the zone here at the fanfare, the SEC fanfare, which officially opened apparently only to Kentucky fans at 10 a.m. And being a Western guy.
This is Nashville, after all, and this is, you know, U.K. territory.
You could say any SEC city during the tournament, right? It's going to be kind of a Lexington on the road, which is what we've got here again today.
Which, by the way, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the SEC for blowing so hard this year that the meager Cats are still a number two seed. How did that happen?
I have no idea.
I've enjoyed watching them struggle so intensely all year. And then you look at the standing, you're like, and they still got the number two seed. Great.
It is disappointing.
Thanks, SEC.
I know it. We hate it. You are a...
Of all the years for Vanderbilt, it's like, couldn't Stallings get last year's team this year?
No kidding. Well, they did win the tournament last year,
I'm saying, but yeah. I mean, they could have, you know, a little bit more damage in the regular season.
Well, this year we need him to lose his first game because Arkansas is playing him.
I don't think you're going to struggle too much. I didn't really know that much about Arkansas basketball this year, to be frank.
Well, not a lot of people have paid close attention.
Yeah. There's a point with college basketball for me, and this is definitely a not me getting older, not caring, but over the last 15 years, you know, the first half of the season matters less and less and less based, you know, when I was coming, I mean, you know, 70s and 80s, you know, you could look late December, definitely by early January, and you could really look and see, okay, these guys are running into the tournament strong.
Mm-hmm.
And now that doesn't do you any good to look before February because you have so many young teams, the process of who's going to gel when, you know, with so many teams short on upperclassmen, it's just a crapshoot until almost conference tournament time.
Well, when you get studs as young players, it works out okay in most cases, not so much for Kentucky this year, which, again, that's one thing we definitely have in common. We'd like to see Kentucky struggle.
Always.
You are a Michigan native and a Michigan fan. So let me tell you what's happening right now as we talk about your man crush. My preacher, who is a Michigan native, Beatles aficionado, and freak fan, and of course, a big Wolverines fan,
right,
is right now developing a man crush on you. So let's talk about the Wolverines and their young talent.
Love them, not buying in. I'll be cheering for them when they're on the court, but overall, they're still, when you're that reliant on the jump shot, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like that kid McGarry's coming on strong right now. They're and they got an inside presence for sure, but too inconsistent. They're all those road losses. I mean, they lost at Penn State, and the truth of the matter is, you know, Duke doesn't do that in February. You know what I mean? Kansas doesn't do that in February, mm-hmm. generally speaking.
Right.
I mean, your teams that really, you know, those are games when it's, you know, you just, championship teams don't overlook patsies.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's inexcusable to go to Penn State and lose a basketball game, especially in February, especially when you've just lost some real nail biters like the Ohio State game and the first Michigan State game they got hammered in. You know, there was these rough stretch of road games. And then again, it remind you know, but like I was alluding to earlier, you're dealing with teenagers, and now most usually freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah.
So these things happen, but I think by February, I like to have a pretty, I like to be a little more confident in the team.
Well, look,
but with Trey Burke, I'm not saying they're not going to make it to the Final Four. I'm just saying I wouldn't bet on them.
You and I both have 12-year-olds, so we do know that kids, and when they get to 18, let's be honest. They're not. They're just big 12-year-olds. It's not that
Absolutely.
Much different. And Trey Burke is—he's one of those guys that is confounding because he can at one moment take over a game, the next moment give it away.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But he's fun to watch, man. And they're extremely talented. Being an Iowa State graduate, they're in a similar situation. They'll shoot themselves into a win that they shouldn't get.
Yep.
And they'll shoot themselves out of a loss that they shouldn't have taken.
That's right.
So it's frustrating, but that's what's so fun about the tournament. That's what's so great about college basketball. Now, how was your game? Have you played at all?
I played a little bit. I played a couple weeks ago. I played full court basketball for the first time in literally 5 years.
Okay.
And it was dads and sixth grade sons competing, you know, not versus each other, but mixed bag.
Were you the tallest dad?
I was not the tallest dad, but I'd go so far as to say I had the strongest skill set.
Okay.
I'm going to come clean with that right now.
Well, you've never been shy about your basketball skills.
By the way, they've eroded immensely. The distance from my brain to my feet as far as what I think I'm about to do
yes.
and what my body allows me to do, it's never been greater.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. And as I get older, I get a little more realistic. I look back and realize, oh, I wasn't nearly as good as I used to think I was.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say this, in the realm of rock musicians, yeah, pretty much still waiting for someone to come and take me down.
I have recapped your story many times to people that you and Chris Robinson are undefeated in 2-on-2 play against all other musicians around the world.
Except, did I tell you the full story? We were beaten.
No, you
one
told
time.
Me you'd never been beaten.
No, no. Then I must not have finished
the story.
You
left the caveat out. Okay.
We there was a lot of 2-on-2 on the road.
I've been lying to people all these years about your undefeated record.
But here's the thing. The only people that ever beat us, and this was a 3-on-3 game, so we had one of the guys on our crew to fill in, and we lost the game to Ziggy and Stephen Marley and their road manager.
Okay.
In the most... But talk about shooting yourself out of a game you shouldn't lose, shooting yourself in a game you shouldn't win. This was a game to 11 baskets. We were sitting on a 9-2 lead, and then they just started throwing up these heaves all from way beyond the arc, all counting for one basket. But it was that thing that started out just kind of funny, like, oh my, hey, he hit that, he hit another one, he hit another one. Who's gonna really? I'm not gonna go check Ziggy Marley. I mean, it's let him shoot. The guy's having fun. Nine straight outside jumpers later with us laughing, and then suddenly at 9-9, go, hey, wait a minute, we got to do something. And then there's like the dribble off the foot right under the basket to their big man who gets his only bucket of the game. And then there's literally like the hook shot from behind the key to win it. And we're just staring at each other. And the problem was it was the Horde Tour. There were six other bands watching. So we did go down in style but at the end of the day, I said, you know what, your dad, you know, he's kind of a jerk. My dad's kind of a jerk. Their dad's Bob Marley. I can take it.
That's pretty awesome. Okay, I got you here.
Yeah.
Now you're down here.
I'm down here.
So
oh, yeah.
You basically did what you're complaining about Michigan doing.
Absolutely.
Looking past. That
Absolutely.
Was your Penn State game.
It was our Penn State.
Blew it. That's rough.
First time anyone's ever compared any members of the Marley family to anything to do with Penn State athletics. I'm quite certain.
Well, so had they been imbibing? Because, I mean, of course, their family has a reputation.
I believe we all had.
Okay.
Truth be told.
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate the honesty. So we've got about 5 minutes left. I don't know how long you can stay. We do have an interview at the bottom of the hour. Jim Gaffigan, who's a comedian that's going to be playing in Little Rock here later this month, and you're welcome to stay as long as you like. And
I you know, look, I got my own show to get ready for, man. By get ready for, I mean I got to run home, feed the dog, you know, take her around the block once.
How many kids do you have?
Two.
Okay.
So two kids.
You have a son who's 12 and a daughter who's
10.
Okay.
Dog and a cat.
So you're just like a normal family guy most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Who does a sports talk show.
I'm
and
up
oh, by
early.
The way,
I run the kids to school in the morning. You know what I mean? Take care of the animals. See what I got to do around the house.
And occasionally you get to be a rock and roll drummer.
A little afternoon gutter cleaning over there today if you want to swing by. You're more than welcome.
I'd rather stick my arm in a wood chipper.
Got the extension ladder ready to go.
I don't know how you need a really big extension ladder for me. Was that a short joke?
No, well, okay. No, not at all. Okay. I'm saying I have a two-story home. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, well, I do my yard work, but I like to hire the gutters done. I don't mind that. That's a dangerous deal.
Live on the edge, brother.
Well, I guarantee one thing you'll never read in the paper is Justin Akre dies cleaning gutters.
Really?
Yeah, that's a weird. Yeah, that's my thing. I have this fear of going out in a weird way. I don't want to die that way. Right. Like Bo Diaz, the baseball player, he died with a satellite falling on him. You don't want to go out like that. That's no good.
That's no good at all.
No, I don't need that.
I don't have a thing about I don't want to die in a weird way or anything, but I do know this, and it's odd considering the career choice I've made. I'm deathly afraid of the only thing I'm constantly on the lookout for is electrocution. You know, like I
well,
never
in your industry that's important.
I don't unplug or plug in anything ever.
Okay.
And like I'll be on a stage with 8 billion watts of electricity buzzing around, but anytime someone says, hey, pick up that pedal, that you know, bring me that, I'm like, I can't do it. I have a real fear of I'm going to pick up the thing that's charging inappropriately and take a couple hundred volts.
Will you kick it towards someone?
Probably not.
Okay.
Try not to. I really try to steer clear. I wear a lot of rubber.
Better safe than sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
We've only got a few minutes before the break here. I want to ask you about the tour, and I was talking to you before, and I said, you know, you guys aren't very good at retirement. You guys are kind of, I mean, of course, it's great that you talk about sports because it's sort of a boxer analogy. They're not very good at retirement typically either. The good news is you guys are not punch drunk. You took an intentional time off with the intention of potentially getting back together, which is going to happen.
Yeah, we said at the end of 10, we said, let's pull the plug for a couple years. And when we take a break, we really take a break. Like, I didn't talk to anybody in the band for, other than about, like, sports. I mean, we'll text about games and stuff. But we didn't talk about the Black Crowes for, you know, for literally almost 2 full years. And then I ran into Chris, and then and not that long after that, talked to Rich. And it was just a real thing of, what do you guys want to do next year? Because it's sort of like a year-to-year. We knew we'd take 2 years off. And we had a conversation in the fall that's, you either say, let's do something in 13 or let's not. Because if you're going to, you got to get started right away looking into it and trying to figure out what you want it to be. And we said, well, let's just see what's out there and see how we feel. And, you know, once we kind of opened the door, it's either going to get some momentum, but we all thought about it. And, you know, no one ever said, you know what, I don't want to do it. So then it ends up where we're looking at dates and offers, and all of a sudden we got a tour booked, and it's pretty exciting.
I hope it's okay to point out that the Robinson brothers, some things never change, but yet they're willing to tour together. So they will not be spending a lot of quality time together as family members, but they will spend good time on the stage together.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, they've gone, not unlike all bands to a certain level, you get to the point where you have to prioritize, okay, what are we really here to do? And for them, you know, what they do as brothers is their own business, but they're, you know, this is a thing that we've been doing now for 25 years. And what, I mean, I know other bands that have really contentious member situations where they're not related. These two guys just happen to be.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it's, can you still get on stage and do what you want to do? And can you still bring something to the table that is across the board good for everybody, and we still have that as a band. I mean, the tour in 10 was that was my favorite tour we've done in year. I don't remember, you know, since easily in 15 years at that time.
Well, that's good.
That was a real, and it was so good that had a lot to do with us saying, okay, let's take a break, because if we come back next year again, we're all going to be fried.
Feels like work.
Yeah. So it's and you do hopefully learn as you go along. For us, it's like, when things are going really well, we do look at other. Now everyone has other projects they like to do, and you know it's important that you get away from one to focus on the other. Everyone's going to come back to this band now very refreshed and really energetic for it.
And you saw Chris's project when he was out doing his thing?
I did. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Chris Robinson Brotherhood, they were great.
Yeah, he played in Little Rock at the Rev Room, and so that was very well received, of course. So I was actually out of town, unfortunately, but nevertheless. So what's the schedule now? You guys are going to go rehearse in New York, you said?
Yeah, I'm in New York next week, and then we do a week of shows in the UK, and then the U.S. tour starts April 2nd up in the Northeast, and then works its way down around. And we got dates booked through May, Europe in June and July, and then back again U.S. dates, summer and fall.
Well, you can catch Steve's show 102.5 here in Nashville if you're coming to town, or you can listen online, I assume.
You can always listen online, 1025thegame.com.
Unfortunately, I have to turn off my show to listen to his show. I would strongly suggest you listen to his show. It's 12 to 1 every day, Monday through Friday, and we'll be doing it from the road as well.
From the road, yes,
and,
sir.
And you can check out the Crows, too. They are playing close to Central Arkansas, Dallas, Memphis. I know you guys are New Orleans at a festival.
Yeah, and there are dates to come for the fall, so I would be very surprised if we didn't hit somewhere in Arkansas.
Can we do? Okay, I was going to ask. I was going to say maybe I could get you on the court. We could have a little shootout, and if I win, you got to play Little Rock area.
You can bring that wager up if you like, buddy.
I'm in.
I got a good feeling about this.
Look, I
got
to help my people in Central Arkansas see the Crows in their backyard. It'll be great. So.
So now you're trying to guilt me into throwing the game?
No.
Okay.
No, it's fine.
Right.
They can drive to Memphis if I lose. I don't mind taking
okay.
Look, I have broad shoulders for a little guy. I don't mind taking the whole state of Arkansas on me.
I can appreciate that.
So
about
you accept?
Anytime.
Done. All right, we got to hit a timeout. Appreciate Steve Gorman coming by. Check out his show again if you're coming in town. Thanks so much, man. Good
Cheers,
seeing you.
Man.
All right, we'll take a timeout, come back with Jim Gaffigan, who's almost as funny as Steve Gorman, and he'll be playing in Little Rock for sure. I don't even have to beat him in basketball, so that's good. We'll be back from the Nashville Convention Center. Appreciate Steve, and appreciate you listening. We'll be right back in the Zone, Buzz Radio Network. Hey, little thing, let me light your candle, 'cause mama, I'm sure all down and out.